Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Radio Network. I am the host, Dan the Above Average Comedian, Kyle Chico. Find me on Twitter at DanLaw83. And with me, as always, is WCW star and indie wrestling star Stro, the maestro of wrestling. Stro, how the heck are you today?
Finally, we're back.
It's my fault. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. No, it's just scheduling. Life gets in the way sometimes, so I made sure that it was okay. Hey, let's go bi-weekly. It's just easier. I guarantee not to cancel as much at that point, and it's just less to juggle, and it'll work out that way. It's better. I can retain information better that way. Sure. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, great. Tonight will be pretty cool. I won't have any drunk people coming by thinking I'm Ricky Morton, like I was at the Legends Fan Fest in Charlotte, or Billy Landell or anything like that. So I mean, yeah, it should be. yeah, it was great. It was great. Other than that, it was a great time at the Legends convention. I really had a blast. A lot of great memories.
And seeing the pictures and a lot of old friends and guys that you're still friends with taking pictures like that. And my favorite one is with Vader, because Vader has this smirk on his face. It's like, you know, he's not supposed to smirk.
Oh, yeah. I had these, like, old ladies, like, getting ready to fight at my table, my autograph table. And so, like, the next day I brought Hacksaw and Vader, and, you know, as, like, backup, you know what I mean? So they scared them off. So, you know, I was prepared, pretty prepared the next day.
Yeah, at that point, I just stay out of the way. I'm not messing with that.
It's cool. He even had his, like, headdress from Japan. The headdress he used to wear, the ram.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, super cool.
When that man came out to the ring wearing that, you knew whoever he was wrestling, whether it was Sting, Macho, whoever he was in a match with was in trouble.
I remember his first match with Z-Man and WCW going out that thing, man. My God.
We always talk about different feuds and different angles and guys, especially had multiple angles. And Vader was one of the biggest, if not the biggest star at one point in WCW. I mean, multiple time world champion, put many guys on the map and vice versa. But other than his feud with Sting and tag teaming with Flair, that feud that he had, how many times did Cactus Jack just get beat up every night?
It was like a unprecedented thing. I mean, God, yeah, Mick, you know, when he was doing the Cactus thing with Vader, I mean, they would have just knockdown, drag out matches. And, you know, you heard about the deal in Germany with the ear, you know, that was just crazy.
That one comes to mind, but the one that comes to mind, I guess it's more visceral because it's clearer footage of it. And I actually didn't see the actual footage of it until his first DVD came out a bunch of years ago before the Blu-ray. Was the footage of Vader breaking his nose. And
Just
the sound that it made. And it's just that is worse than any ear injury, because you see the ear footage and you can't really see it. Like you see generally what's going on, but that nose breaking is like the camera is it might as well be Jack holding the camera and letting him get punched in the face. It's just it's brutal.
I tell you, with Vader, I mean, definitely to step up your game. I mean, he definitely did. You know, the matches with Sting, and I mean, the match we had with Flair at Starrcade was definitely a classic.
That is a guy that doesn't. I don't hear his name mentioned a lot anymore. Vader, I mean, Vader. Being a kid again, watching WCW, Vader was one of those guys that was just. If you looking back, if you wanted. A strong, you put him against Vader. If you wanted to have a strong heel, Vader was easy to hate. I mean, he was such a presence in the ring and such a bully in the ring. It's just, it's easy. That's easy money right there, what used to be.
I mean, the matches he had with Big Boss Man, who later turned out to be the Guardian in WCW, were really great big man matches.
Speaking of Vader, I'm going to segue on this one. Starrcade 91 from the North, because we are talking about Starrcade. And Stro, give him the call-in number. You want to talk about Starrcade? How do you want to talk to us?
Oh, call in fans at 1-855-VOC Radio.
Let's see, 1-855-VOC Radio. Give us a call. Your favorite Starrcade memories. We're, of course, going to talk about the last nine. Yes, nine. I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, last 10. I'm counting well. I did math, I swear. We were up to They called Collision Course. We talked about the Black Scorpion. So it was a nice cutoff, because the first official World Championship Wrestling alone Starrcade, without any NWA banner and NWA mention alone, was Starrcade 91 from the Norfolk Scope, or however you pronounce it, Norfolk. People around here in Virginia call it Norfolk. But it was Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery.
Yes.
And
Lethal Lottery.
And basically what that means, it was tag team matches. Complete tag team matches, and then the winning tag team, not the winning tag team. God, this is, explain how this worked, because this is a distant memory.
Well, you would pick guys up randomly to team together in tag team matches, and where at the winning tag teams will be involved in this battle royale, to which the winner, you know, would be the Lethal Lottery winner.
Yeah, so all night you had just, as you say, a lottery. You had guys teaming up that would not normally team up. I mean, for example, we talked about Vader. Vader and Mr. Hughes fought Rick Steiner and the Night Stalker. Bobby Eaton, beautiful Bobby and Brian Pillman tagged up against Sting and Abdullah. The Night Stalker was... Brian Clark, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
Oh, man.
How about Sting and Abdul the Butcher? What a tag team that is.
Well, considering Sting was trying to help the guy get electrocuted months earlier at, Halloween Havoc.
Halloween Havoc, yeah.
Yeah, Lex Luger and Arn Anderson beat Taylor in the Z-Man. The Z-Man. Dustin Rhodes and Richard Morton. Yeah, Ricky Morton. My eyes are shot tonight. I don't have batteries for my computer, so I'm just going haywire. Ricky Morton and Dustin Rhodes versus Larry Zbysko and El Gigante. As you can tell, folks, by listening, this is not a Starrcade that I have revisited much. And I do recall the Battle Bowl, because the last two in that Battle Bowl was Lex Luger and Sting. And Sting went on to beat Luger again for another run at the world title. But you had like, this was an early '90s who's who of WCW. Tommy Rich was involved. Ron Simmons, PN News. Remember PN News?
Yo, baby, yo.
I believe we also even had an appearance from Brad Armstrong as that Spider-Man character, Arachnoman.
Oh, Arachnoman.
Yeah. The yellow and the blue. you had Johnny B. Badd there, Brian Pillman, like I said, the Steiner Brothers, Sting. Buddy Lee Parker was even thrown in there with Cactus Jack, Ricky Steamboat, everybody who was not an opener. In WCW, I think even Tracy Smothers was even involved in this show.
Oh yeah,
Tracy Smothers is one of those guys that I just wish worked more often. I loved him, and I got exposed to Tracy through ECW, so I missed all that early stuff.
Oh, the full-blooded Italians, right?
Oh, yeah, come out, you know, flipping everybody off and just this greaseball Italian, which is hilarious because he's from, like, Georgia.
And Tommy Rich was the godfather.
Oh, that's great, right? That's great right there. That's great writing. That's genius. The Tracy Smothers is a guy I wish that was used better. Every time he was on TV, I'd watch. We had just go off on a side story real quick, talking about ECW. We had ECW up in this area in Jersey at like, sometimes it was on at midnight, but we had it on at like 10 or 11 o'clock on Channel 19 WGTW, Wilmington, Philadelphia. Little independent station that's now it's a religious station now. They've completely changed over from programming. It's just religious programming all day.
Wow!
So they went.
It's funny. It's funny how, like, you know, some of the guys that work from ECW, you know, went over to WCW. You know, with Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Psychosis. I mean, they were in ECW. They're getting their feet wet. You know, with the U.S. audience, you know, before they transcended to the WCW.
And that's the thing. Most of that WCW mainstay in the later days, and I'm talking about 2001 when they were pushing the quote-unquote little guys, when they were pushing those guys, they all came up through ECW. And, you know, we could talk about it till we're blue in the face, but the phrase dropping the ball as far as Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, however that ended, we're not talking about that, but they dropped the ball so much on that. I mean, there's a whole book you could write about dropping the ball on Steve Austin altogether, but that's just me, you know.
I mean, you had, like, you know, Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit, they were like ECW tag team champions at one time. And then later on in WCW, actually became WCW World Tag Team Champion. So it's just kind of cool how that came about.
Yeah, it's that's a great story to see that. And just being able to know that, seeing those matches first, and then that being almost main event on Nitro was such a thrill, because it's like, here you go, bigger audience, now steal the show. And no matter what the office did, they stole the show every time. It didn't matter where they were put on the card. They stole it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the matches like Malenko and Benoit had with Barry Windham and Kurt Hennig were very good, I thought.
Barry Windham and Kurt Hennig. Man, I just had a pop-up thought off the West Texas Rednecks. We'll get into that later. Now, the next year, 92, Omni in Atlanta, again. Now, the early 90s, this was – it's hard to look back and say – like, we all regard Starrcade as fans and as obviously somebody who worked with the company, as Starrcade was the event for WCW. But it's hard to argue that looking back, because – everybody focuses on, this is just a thought I had the other day, everybody focuses on the competition part of it, that, you know, Monday night was on, Nitro was on the same night as Raw, that competition. So why wasn't Starrcade ever put up against WrestleMania? I mean, what the heck was run up against WrestleMania in WCW? It was April. It was a Spring Stampede at one point. I think for a couple of years they didn't even run a pay-per-view against WrestleMania. Starrcade, I think, it holds better memory for me because that was like the cap off of the year. It was at the end of the year. It was after. It was going to be around Christmas. Sometimes it was way after Christmas. It was right at the end of the year. And growing up, not knowing what I know about wrestling now, that was end all be all for me. And especially this one was right after Christmas, right before New Year's Eve. From the Omni, it was Battle Bowl number 2, Lethal Lottery number 2. And they went with the same format, and they had the, you know, the Lethal Lottery tag teams. They did have singles matches on this one.
Right.
My question to you, Mr. Stroh, I'm going to call you Mr. Stroh from now on. I feel that's dignified.
that's perfectly fine. Thank you.
Mr. Stroh, I have a question. Do you think, looking back, that Battle Bowl could have gone on, or do you think by the second year it was already a tired idea?
Well, I thought it was a pretty good concept. Maybe, I don't know if it was an inept thing for a Starrcade thing, rather, maybe for another big pay-per-view night in the year or so. Because, you know, Starrcade, yeah. I always thought was like the pay-per-view where feuds would come to an end, like year-long feuds. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kind of like the way it started, you know, the original concept of Starrcade was. So, but that's just me.
No, I was kind of hoping you would go that way with it, because now I don't feel like such a jerk when I say that. It was really expected to end, you know, the feuds, blow it off, and then after the new year, that first week in January, you'd start from afresh, you'd start anew, and the show would start all over again, kind of thing. When there wasn't so much access, it worked better, I think. You know, with the network and all the stuff now, you have 24-hour programming. I think when you had a weekly show and a monthly pay-per-view, No, go ahead.
No, I think this particular Starrcade here, also, not only did they have the Battle Bowl, but they had the finals for the King of Cable tournament with Sting and Big Van Vader.
Yeah, I was about to ask that. Which was one of my favorite, win for Sting against Vader, because didn't he win with, like, a power slam in the middle of the ring?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of caught Vader, which is, I think, impossible for anybody to catch. And just kind of slammed him, and that was the pin. I thought that was like, oh, I can't believe he pulled that. It was like when Sting. Well, go back further. It was kind of like when Ricky Steamboat pulled the inside cradle from Flair on the figure four. Like, oh my God, out of nowhere! It just pulled that out of nowhere. But you also had. One of my favorite moments for Muda, because that's who won the Battle Bowl that year.
Right.
Muda would go on to be one of my favorites. I mean, even when he wrestled against Sting, I kind of cheered for him, because I still to this day, Papadon posted a video on Facebook, which had a entrance from Muda at a recent show. And it was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. It's just such a cool character. It's another guy, obviously, he wasn't over in the States all the time, so it was one of those guys you didn't see 100% all the time. But again, you had these great random tag teams. Again, Muda against Barry Windham, Muda and Barry Windham against Pillman and Too Cold Scorpio. Vader and Dustin Rhodes tag teaming against... I can never get the name out right. I can read it, but I can't say it. Kensuke Sasaki.
Yeah.
And the Barbarian. You had one of the skyscrapers, Dan Spivey, tagging with Van Vader against Johnny B. Bad and Cactus Jack.
Wow.
I really feel, I mean, they were sticking, like, for instance, they were sticking singles matches, because after that they had Ron Simmons and Steve Williams almost wrestle 20 minutes for the World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a lot of work, especially on a pay-per-view. That's almost too much work.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. I don't know why those two Starcades, for some reason, I have to go back and try to catch those, because I don't know if it was the Battle Bowl thing. It's not really clicking in my head of anything else other than that Sting pinfall for me. You got any thoughts on the last Battle Bowl?
Nothing, I mean, like, noteworthy other than the fact that, you know, I mean, it was really cool seeing the Great Muta come out on top. You know what I mean? And I think earlier that night, if I'm not mistaken, he was vying for the NWA Heavyweight Championship. Like, that was Masahiro Chono's.
And and Muta tapped.
Yeah. STF.
Chono was another guy that he didn't wrestle over here all the time because he was so big in Japan that it worked over here. Especially when he joined the NWO, it's like, oh, you son of a gun. You bad person.
That was rare, you know, at the time, because I think that was one of the few times, if two Japanese professional wrestlers, you know, going after the world championship on the Starcade pay-per-view. So, I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, as I don't remember on a scale that large it happening ever. So that's huge, especially. But not only that, but he was not. It wasn't like a week long title reign for Chono. I mean, he held on to it for a little while. So that's the bigger deal, because you can give somebody the title and then a week later it was like, well, obviously he was just transitioning for the next guy. But you have a guy that good hold it for a while. It's like, well, this gives him some pull. This gives him, like, okay, this guy is something. He's a big deal. I don't think
right.
He aged at from, like, that man never aged from the early 90s to the late 90s. I think he stayed pretty much the same, solid all the time. I don't think he aged. I hope I aged that well.
Exactly.
Moving on to Starrcade 93. And this is, again, it's a feud I mentioned earlier. You got Vader and Flair. Flair, that's something we didn't even mention. Flair wasn't even at that previous Starrcade.
Right.
But Flair had that very, very well-documented and publicized fight with Mr. Jim Herd, the Pizza Hut manager. And there's nothing wrong with that, folks. If you're a Pizza Hut manager, you work at Pizza Hut, that's not bad. You guys got great pizza sometimes. It's the fact that he was running a wrestling company after being, a Pizza Hut manager. Something doesn't click with me. But he had that famous fight, which we mentioned before, where basically Jim Herd wasn't negotiating contracts and demanded the belt back, and Flair told him to go pound sand and left and took the belt with him. Really. So for him to go, and I think his last Starrcade was the Black Scorpion Starrcade. He hadn't been out of Starrcade since. This was his first one back. You're right back on top. I mean, you can't deny somebody like Flair. I've had discussions over the last several years after his retirement match against Shawn Michaels, and people say, well, he had the same match over and over again. He wasn't that good. And I'm like, he had the same match over and over again at pay-per-view. Like, did you not watch TV? I mean, he was how old when he won the tag team championship with Roddy Piper on Monday Night Raw? Oh, you know?
Right.
Right. That's something. I'm just saying. The man could make anybody, however repetitive you thought he was, every time he got in the ring with Sting, you bought. Every time he was in the ring with Vader, you bought the pay-per-view. You watched the show. That is
He was the go-to guy. He was the go-to guy. I mean, he would even go. I mean, like I've seen having got you know matches like with you know like Sam Houston and even like the you know the Mulkey Brothers and George South back in the day would have classic matches. I mean, you know, I mean, him and Bobby Eaton were like two masters that they would make anybody in the ring look like $1 million.
And Bobby Eaton was a guy who would do anything because he was just that good. He never got to the heights of a Flair or a Sting, but guess what? He's still a name that you hear to this day, and that's how good Bobby Eaton was. Right on through to my point with Ric Flair. He was that good, and he would do anything for this business, from making out with a mannequin to stripping down to his boxers to having his sons on TV, making him look ridiculous. The man did anything he did could for the business. Faking a heart attack, you know, anything. He's been to the very top of the mountain and then knocked right back down to make it look like a fool. And he was making great money doing it. So you can't say anything about Flair. I don't want to hear that crap. You just keep on watching.
Right. Flair's the man.
And saying that, he left the company, came back, was right back on top of that Starrcade, period. Flair versus Vader, Starrcade 93, Independence Arena in Charlotte, North Carolina. How could you not have the main event in Charlotte, North Carolina anyway? I mean, that was inevitable.
You know, he gave, I think the whole setup was really nice because they did the vignettes of him from his house talking to his family on the ride down to the arena with Mean Gene Okerlund, and it was it was very well done, I thought, the whole deal. And gave one of the best promos afterwards. Probably one of the best promos of his entire career because, you know, you mentioned the plane crash or Johnny Valentine, and it was really good.
And that's the thing. You put him in any situation, he will always, always, always come out on top, no matter if he loses or not. I mean, again, you had Vader with Harley Race. What a 1-2 team that was. One of arguably the greatest wrestler in history before Flair teaming with Vader.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so he had the legendary Harley Race there, you know, managing Vader at the time, and I mean, all the elements of a main event that could have been main event anywhere, I thought.
We have a very good card. I mean, comparing what we had with Battle Bowl, there's nothing wrong with those cards, but that second Battle Bowl, you know, they were sticking singles matches in there, but this card. It's a WCW. It's an early 90s WCW card. I mean, we have the first appearance of Steve Austin at a Starrcade. Steve Austin versus Dustin Rhodes for the U.S. title. And he beat him. Two out of three falls on that one.
Right.
And then you had that the odd tag team for the tag team championship. You had Road Warrior Hawk and Sting against the Nasty Boys.
Yeah.
So I remember that going a long time. That was one of those half an hour, 45 minute matches that just was like, wow, this is edge your seat TV there.
And Missy Hyatt was managing the Nasty Boys.
Missy Hyatt. Unfortunately, the first thing I think of with when I hear Missy Hyatt's name is that bikini contest at Beach Blast 92.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With Jesse. Was it 92 or 93? It was Beach Blast. I can't remember because all I know is it was Medusa, Missy Hyatt, and Jesse Ventura got involved in. So when somebody says Missy Hyatt, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. Jesse Ventura hiding in the tent with Missy Hyatt. Fantastic. I know you're going to pop for this one. But you had Awesome Kong against the Shockmaster.
Yes. Yes.
Of course, at this point, Shockmaster was just Uncle Fred without a mask.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. You had two big guys, Awesome Kong and the Shock, two classics going at it right there.
Now, while
and
we're talking
Shockmaster
about,
actually got the win, actually.
Yeah, he did win. It was, well, it was quick, so it was like 2 minutes, it was over. while we're on the subject of Starrcade 93, I'm going to bring in our partner in crime here, Derek McDonald. Derek, welcome back, sir.
Hello. I'm sorry for being late, but I was enjoying listening to you guys talk about Steve Austin and Dustin Rhodes. It was one of my favorite matches at a Starrcade. But I'm here. How are you guys doing today?
I'm better
hey,
than you here. We're finally going
to
record our first. Anybody listening to WCW Retro or any other shows in the VOC Nation, we're going to have a commercial finally coming up. So we're recording that after the show. So, yeah, back on that match with Steve Austin and Rhodes, I mean, that was – it was one of those best out of three – well, yeah, best two out of three. And, again, it was just one of those matches that it was long, but long in a good way to where it was over before you realized it began. Those two were so good. Everybody can say what they want about Dustin Rhodes and that crazy gold gimmick and Stardust with his brother. I personally love the gimmick now. I loved him as what was his nickname again in The Natural? I loved
the
him as being a baby. But he also had one of my favorite to this day, one of my favorite talents in this ring in this business ever. Lord Steven Regal against another one of my favorites, Ricky Steamboat, who fought to a time limit draw on pay-per-view.
I mean, two of the best technical wrestlers in WCW history. I mean, you can't go wrong. I mean, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, one of the greatest, you know, baby faces of all time, and Lord Steven Regal was a technical wrestling master. I mean, this was one was a definite classic.
I think I was talking, Derek, I'll get your thoughts in a second. You know, I want to go to you, but this pop-up thought before I forget. Regal is my, I think is my fiance's favorite wrestler, other than Chris Jericho, is Steve Regal. Well, William Regal. And we were having a discussion the other day, and I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think Regal is the last quote-unquote shooter in the business.
Oh, Regal, definitely. He's definitely one of a rare breed. I mean, you got him, you got Finley. Oh, gosh. I mean, those guys right there. I mean, if I were to go into battle, at a wrestling battle, legit wrestling battle, I'll definitely want guys like Haku, Ming, Regal, and Finley. I definitely want them on my side.
Yeah. Derek, your final thoughts on Starrcade 93?
It's funny you bring up Regal, and one of my fond memories of Regal from WCW, two of them. The first one was the match he had against Goldberg where he just completely schooled the guy on the mat. Like, he was just having his way with Goldberg. And at the time I'm watching, I'm like, wow, he's like, you know, and I'm a young kid, and you're like, wow, he's giving Goldberg a run for his money. And then you watch it when you're older. You're like, man, he's putting on a clinic. And another thing with Regal, I remember when they formed the tag team, the Blue Bloods, and they were, like, doing this tour around L.A., I believe, and him and Bobby Eaton were in front of the supposed house where O.J. had committed the murders. And Regal's talking to the camera, and Eaton pulls out, like, a knife and a glove out of the bushes in the background. He's looking around, and he's like, you know, he's like, what's this? And he throws it back in the bushes, and he goes, and the Regal's like, what are you doing? He's like, nothing, never mind. So that's some of my favorite Regal moments. But
hey, what,
you talk about...
What was Bobby Eaton's title? I forget now.
It wasn't Sir Bobby. Was it Sir Bobby Eaton? It was something.
Earl? Was it Sir Earl Eaton?
Yes.
The match he had
with Steamboat, I can remember watching Steamboat in, you know, the early 90s, and I'm watching it with my dad, who grew up on NWA, and we're watching these matches, Steamboat, like, he's having great tag matches with Shane Douglas against the Hollywood Blondes, and then he's having great title matches with Regal and Austin. And my dad goes, you know, Steamboat, he used to be great. And I'm looking like, used to be, like, this guy's great now. Like, what was he in the 80s if he, you know, he used to be great and he's still great, you know, in 92, 93. But I enjoyed this card, everything from, you know, Vader and Flair that you mentioned. It was one thing about WCW, I'll always give them credit. From top to bottom, they always had some amazing matches.
Yeah, it was one of my favorites. I was saying to Stroh before you came on that it was one of my favorite. It was a great card. Just looking at it, looking back on it, just a great card. Except for Max Payne. I never got Max Payne. That's just me. I apologize to Mr. Payne. It's like, no, that's good. He's playing his own music. Whatever. Maybe I'm just jealous. If I could play guitar, I'd be playing that all the time. It's just me. Stroh, we move on to Starrcade 94. It's a triple threat. And it was in Nashville, Tennessee at the Municipal Auditorium. Again, it's the capper of the year. It's taking place at the end of December. And the main event was Hulk Hogan versus The Butcher. Now, for those listening, I don't mean Abdullah the Butcher. I mean Brutus the Barber Beef.
The Butcher.
The Butcher. Ladies and gentlemen, Hulk Hogan has arrived at WCW. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah, Mr. T wrestled Kevin Sullivan, did he?
Yeah, he did, didn't he? And he beat him, too. Sullivan jobbed to Mr. T that night. You had also the debut of a paper. You had the main pay-per-view debut. I lost my train of thought there for a second. You had the main pay-per-view debut of one Mr. Jean-Paul Levesque.
Oh, yeah. The future Triple H taking on Alex Wright.
Wrestled Alex Wright. Wright went over. Stroh, I'll let you comment on this. And Derek, okay. After Stroh's finished, Derek, your thoughts. The opening match. Now, we went from Flair and Vader headlining the pay-per-view to Vader opening up the pay-per-view against Jim Duggan for the United States Championship. Stroh, take it away.
Wow. How about that? I mean, what a way to kick off Starrcade there. And, I mean, with Vader actually won the U.S. title that night from Duggan.
Yeah.
And they win over 12 minutes, actually. With a face buster.
Go ahead, Derek, before I go off on my tangent here.
All right. Vader is probably my favorite big guy wrestler of all time. And his WCW run, of course, is way more memorable than his WWF run. But him wrestling in the opening match is a prime example of Hogan coming in and putting all of his buddies. I mean, the Butcher was in the main event. And Vader's, you know, the first match of the night. And that's a prime example of Hogan's buddies coming in and just pushing everybody else down the card. And I feel so bad for Vader because I think he got a raw deal when Hogan came. And then he goes to WWE and he gets the raw deal with Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam, and that's pretty much the end of his push. So I always felt bad for Vader. And like I said, Hexel Jim Duggan, he's a legend. You know, he's one of the few guys at his age. He can still go out. All he has to do is go USA and ho, and the crowd goes crazy. But Vader, I think, was above wrestling. I think Vader was above wrestling for the U.S. title in the opening match of the biggest pay-per-view of the year for that company.
And here's my thoughts before Stroh, if you wanted to come in with anything else on this. It's over and done, but this is supposed to do is talk about old WCW. It's not that match. It's where it is on the card for me. That's not an opening match. I mean, the next match, quite frankly, obviously, what can you say about what Triple H became? But Alex Wright and Triple H seems to be an opener for me. That's just me.
That match should have been like semi-main, hands down, Vader and Duggan. I mean,
you look at the other matches you had. You had John G. Badnor and Anderson for the TV title.
The Nasty Boys taking on Harlem Heat for the Tag Team Championship, and then Sting wrestling Avalanche, quote-unquote Earthquake. So,
yeah. I don't know. I think Derek kind of put it out there as soon as Hogan came in. And I'm not insulting Hogan for doing it. Of course, when you make it to the top, you take care of your friends. But that if looking at that card doesn't smack you in the face, go, I see what's happening. Nothing else will. I mean,
yeah, it was a far cry from the year before Starrcade, that's for sure.
You went from still having a touch of NWA to a complete wiping of that. But that's what Bischoff wanted. So it's not like it's a bad thing. That's exactly what he wanted, and he got what he wanted. You basically took the South out of WCW. You watched that Monday Night War preview, and there was a quote I never seen before where the first thing I wanted to do was get rid of anybody that was Southern. You know, I wanted to be a Southern wrestling promotion anymore. You got it.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we're running really quick, and we still got a bunch to go, so we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to take the commercials that are paid for, and we're going to come back and try to get through the rest of them, and we'll see how it goes. We'll be right back on WCW Retro with Derek McDonald and Stro.
This is King Kong Bundy, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
The godless voice of Crab Nation. None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Pass the car keys to Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crabs on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Are you tired of paying high telephone and internet bills for your business? It's time to call NetCarrier, baby! If you're ready to take your phone service into the cloud, NetCarrier is the place to go to get the best in telecommunication service. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast and the business making towns. Hear all about how I make towns and so much more every Monday right before Raw, 6 p.m. Eastern, here on the VOC Nation. Adios.
The Voice of Choice here. Are you looking for a videographer for your event, maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetroMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
It's not easy being in IT today. Data is growing exponentially, technology is changing at an accelerating pace, and the consequences of unplanned downtime are more serious than ever. StorageHype helps eliminate these risks by automating all the data protection and disaster recovery for your laptops, servers, and virtual systems through a single provider. StorageHype can help you free up more time, recover faster, and improve the reliability of your backup process. Visit StorageHype.com.
Business owners, prepare to take charge.
Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday. Or call live toll-free at 855-VOC-RADIO.
This is TNA Knockout, Madison Rain, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Live from the In The Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey! We're talking Starcade on WCW Retro, and that number is 855-VOC-NATION. Call and talk to us, please. Chat with us, won't you, about Starcade. It's the AM version of WCW Retro. I'm here with the Stro, Maestro of Wrestling. How you doing, Stro?
Doing great.
And, of course, some guy named Derek. No, I'm kidding, Derek. How you doing, Derek?
No, that's about right. That's the correct intro.
Listen, that should go with it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Dan Calcico. I'm here with some guy named Derek. How you doing, some guy named Derek? Doing well. I ain't doing that.
Well, we have a man called Sting, so.
It's a guy named Derek. Yeah, all right. I sang for you. It never happened again. Moving on, I don't know if we're going to fit this in, so we'll call it when I call it. We'll go home as Stro knows that phrase. But Starcade 19 and a 95 was the World Cup of Wrestling, baby. You had basically the USA versus Japan, and it was in Nashville, Tennessee. Again. And this was this was one of my favorite Starcades. Great matches all around. I feel great talent from New Japan Pro against the best in WCW. I mean, you had two dark matches. DDP was on a Starcade dark match with Dave Sullivan, or Evad. didn't he, at one point, didn't Paige feed his rabbit to him?
That sounds familiar. I think so. Yeah, I think he did.
He fed an animal. He fed one of his animals. I'm pretty sure it was a bunny rabbit. Not my bunny rabbit! I mean, you had matches like, look at this first match. I mean, for crying out loud, Jushin Thunder Liger against Chris Benoit.
Yes.
And
classic.
Let's talk about the rest of this. This is a point system, kind of like baseball. So when one side wins, it's 1-0 or 2-0 or, you know, something like that. So Jushin Thunder Liger beat Chris Benoit. That's how you open a show, folks. Bam. Right there. Start it off. Wow, these names, man. I'm going to have problems with these. Koji Kanemoto defeated, that was pretty good, I thought, defeated Alex Wright. I see a pattern here. And then you had the wonderful Lex Luger. And I believe this was bad Lex Luger after he turned on Hogan in that awesome Halloween Havoc with the Yeti. and he beat Masahiro Chono to get one for WCW. I liked the way they did this. I liked the matchups. I loved the USA versus the International. Stro, overall thoughts of this card and different matches of Starcade 95?
Well, it was great seeing Masahiro, which I've always been a big fan of Masahiro. And I really enjoyed the Starcade that him and Muda got a chance to tag in the, I think it was Starcade 89. And it was one of my favorite matches on this particular Starcade was Otani and Eddie Guerrero, which was a fantastic match for those two. And then Flair, I mean, he was working overtime in this one. I mean, he defeated Luger and Sting in a three-way. Triangle match to set up for the big title match with Randy Savage, in which he, you know, won the championship again later on that night.
And what I love about this is, when in doubt, go back to Flair. It's a perfect segue from the conversation we had earlier. well, Hogan's out. Who are we going to put on top? Ric Flair. Who else are we going to put on top? But, yeah, you said it, Stro. Him and Sting and Luger wrestled for half an hour, and then Flair and Randy Savage went another 10 minutes for the title. Of course, you had that dirty old Arn Anderson hitting Savage with the brass knuckles. Dang it, Arn. I believe, if I'm reading this correctly, that there was actually a dark match after the show was over. Looks like it was One Man Gang versus Kenzuki Sasaki for the U.S. Championship.
Yeah.
You know what? I wonder, because it was definitely filmed because they showed it on a Saturday night. I wonder if that footage exists, and that's on... I have to double-check that DVD. I wonder if that's on the DVD. Huh. More so, I want to have to check the network, see if that exists out there. Derek, your thoughts. Starrcade 95.
I love the Eddie Guerrero match. I watched it not too long ago. I think it's on one of his WWE DVDs. And, of course, whenever I get to see Jushin Liger, that's always a treat. As a kid, I thought he had the greatest theme music ever. He still does. I'm a big advocate for him and Muda getting into the WWE Hall of Fame. Just, even though neither one of them has ever been in the WWE ring that I can remember, just their contribution to wrestling as a whole, I think they should be recognized for that. But this was a cool concept that they had. Always liked when WCW kind of did, America versus the world thing. I wish WWE would do it, but that's not going to happen because that requires them to actually be friendly with another, with another company. But this is one of Eric Bischoff's ideas that worked. And I liked all the matches except Lex Luger versus Chono. And, of course, it wasn't Chono's fault. It was Luger's fault, stiff as a board. But pretty much all the matches delivered.
I have really fond memories of this match and of this whole show. And it's an idea I wish they visited more often. But, I mean, coming up to the next Starrcade, once you had the NWO come in, it was kind of a moot point at that point because you just would have went with the NWO versus WCW, which is what they did. Starrcade 96, live, again, from Nashville, Tennessee, which they always drew, so why not go back? That's a good idea right there. But this was the first year of the NWO. This was also the first year that they started signing guys like Ultimo Dragon, guys like Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero was on the previous Starrcade, but he came in. But you also had, at my opinion, the strong point of the NWO. You had the Outsiders. You basically had the Wolfpack versus the Faces of Fear, Bing Barbarian. The main event, we'll talk about in a second. I'll save that. But you had an opener for the J Crown and the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. The Ultimo Dragon against Dean Malenko. How can you go wrong with that? Derek, first you and then Stro.
Yeah, I love Dean Malenko. Ultimo Dragon, how awesome was that guy? I mean, he's another guy who I don't think gets enough credit. He'd come out with Sonny Ono, and he had the belch just dripping off of him. He gets in the ring, and him and Malenko, they're just doing things you've never seen on American television. And Ultimo Dragon, he had a great run, and I loved watching him. And with Ono, they come out, and Ono's taking the pictures because, he has to be a foreigner, and he has to be a tourist. But, you can't go wrong with Ultimo Dragon and Dean Malenko. All their matches were clinics.
Stro, your thoughts on Starrcade 96?
I'd say just reiterate what Derek said. It was just a great match between Ultimo Dragon and Malenko. I mean, bring your style of wrestling, to the U.S. and to a big pay-per-view like Starrcade and see, Dean Malenko, who's a technical wrestling master, and his whole family way back from his brothers to his dad, with the professor Malenko. I mean, just top of the line. And Ultimo Dragon went top stars from Japan. I mean, these guys went all out in this match. It was a great match. And he ended up with a bridging tiger suplex, which it's a beautiful executed move done right.
I mean,
he had great matches.
Great matches. Sorry about that, sir. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, go ahead. No.
I was talking about Ultimo Dragon because it's one of the wrestlers that Kelly, I'm just going to call her Kelly. Everybody knows she's my fiance now. But Kelly, that's the only person I talked about wrestling when I'm not doing a podcast, because I'm revisiting the old Nitros, which I have legally. Again, folks, don't come after me. The Ultimo Dragon had one of my favorite finishing moves. That dragon sleeper looked so sweet every time he put it on somebody. He thought he was going to pop somebody's head off.
Yeah, I mean, it's the dragon sleeper, the running power bomb, the IC moonsault. Like, he was doing things that you didn't see on WWF television, you know, because they had kind of like the slow dragging style if it wasn't a Bret or Shawn match. And like I said, I don't think – if I've seen a bad Ultimo Dragon match, I don't remember it. He had great matches with – Dean, he had a match with Jericho that got Jericho hired in WCW, and Benoit, and the matches he had with Ray, like, he was just amazing.
Now, I'll go to Stro first on this one. The main event was Roddy Piper and Hollywood Hogan. How do you feel about how that match went off, sir?
You know, I really enjoyed this feud because the history with Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan, it dates way back. And to bring this in the forefront in WCW, you know, especially with Starrcade, I mean, I just thought it was very, I mean, the historical aspect of it was very, you know, was just so there. And actually, this was, if I'm mistaken, Hulk Hogan's first clean loss since WrestleMania. The prior WrestleMania was that. So, I mean, and the buildup was really nice, you know, with Piper and Alcatraz, if you recall, you know, and doing that tremendous promo before then. And I really enjoyed this feud because, I mean, Piper was one of those guys that really pushed Hogan in matches. So, I mean, I thought it was great.
And Hulk Hogan, you're an endangered species. You're in extinction. Now get the camera out of my face. Derek, your thoughts on Roddy Piper and Hogan refueling their feud?
This was another genius idea from Bischoff. Now, you take the two guys who main evented the first, what, two Manias, and you put them on your biggest show of the year. This is still when Piper still had a little bit something left. And like Stro said, the build-up was awesome. Like you said, him being in Alcatraz, I remember him cutting a promo on the front of the boat while the wind's blowing in his face, and he's just yelling and screaming on his way to Starrcade. They had that great segment in the ring where he's with his son, and, you know, Hogan comes down to the ring, and he's telling his, you know, I told my son I wasn't going to fight. Like, it was great build-up and great old-school match. It was kind of weird seeing Hogan be the bad guy and Piper be the good guy with their history, but the build-up was great. And like I said, it was one of the last few good matches that Piper had, you know, towards the end of his run.
What I like about that match was that it was, in every way, it was an old-school match. And I think it was pretty bold at the time to go that way when everybody was going the way of Jushin Liger, Rey Mysterio, Ultimo Dragon, having these high-impact, high-octane, over, off-the-rope matches. I think it was actually bold at the time to have those two in the ring, and I loved that match. The way it went down, I love the fact that Piper won, and it was completely dismissed by NWO and Hogan the next night. Like, I thought it was great. That never happened. No. What are you talking about? It's one of my favorite moments, and you guys nailed it. There's nothing more I can say about it. The build-up for it was done fantastic. I actually see a lot of websites and a lot of internet pundits really take a crap on Piper and Hogan on this feud, and I'm like, let me go back. And I go back. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the Alcatraz thing. It's a little cheesy looking at it now, but at the time, that was awesome. I'm going to stay here overnight. I'm going to just get into a mental state that I've never been in before, and I'm going to kill this man. You talk about the beginning of that feud when he came in and called Bischoff out on his BS. It was so well executed. That segment that ended that Nitro This is our closing thoughts. We'll talk about that beginning of the feud and how it culminated at Starrcade. It was exciting. I loved it. Would you feel that that was one of the better Starrcade main events? Stro, you first.
Oh yeah, by far. I mean, I thought the pay per view as a whole was much more upbeat than the one beforehand. And with, this feud had all the elements. I mean, you had all the historical aspect. You had Piper, who could still, like Derek said, bring a lot to the table. And then you had Hogan, who just turned to the bad side, if you will, with the NWO. So you had a lot of things going on, you know, on this pay-per-view. And I thought it was a winner.
Mr. McDonald.
Yeah, I have this argument a lot with people. Today's wrestling, I get a lot of people who tell me, you know, Alberto Del Rio was boring. He was a boring guy, blah, 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 blah. And I tell them, well, he's a heel. He's supposed to be boring. You're not supposed to cheer for the bad guy. And people always tell me, well, you're old school. And I guess so. I'm 28, but I'm old school. Oh, well. And this match, from the build to the match itself, was old school, you know, from, you know, Piper, him being locked up for so long, he's like an animal. So he's biting Hogan and he's choking Hogan with his bandana. He's not really doing too many wrestling moves in the beginning. I think was, up to this point, I think this was like the highest grossing Starrcade as far as per pay-per-view buys. So not only were they making a lot of money, but they did it off an old school angle. So this is one of the last great angles they had. I believe the last one being Starrcade 97 with Hogan and Sting. But just good old school wrestling. I can never get enough.
To add on what you just mentioned, the box office was $113,000, $113,040 in ticket sales alone. Mm-hmm. The attendance was 9,030. And the buy rate, 380,000 buys.
That's not bad, especially for that thing. You know, that's not bad at all. And if you look, you know, people go, well, they only had 9,000 people. They weren't running these huge venues around that time. So that place was probably sold out.
Well, I was about to say, the Nashville Municipal Auditorium, I'm a bit of an arena nerd because all these little arenas have little hockey teams. At one point, if they don't now, they did at one point. And with my fiance, I'm even a bigger hockey nerd now because she mentioned, if you name an arena name, she will tell you a hockey team that had been in there that you had never heard of before.
Wow. That's awesome.
And so the actual capacity was 9,700. So they were sold out. They sold the tickets. It looked good on TV. It looked good on tape. It still holds up, I feel. That's just how I feel. I think we're all in agreement with what I'm getting from both of you. I think because Starrcade is the pinnacle of WCW, that it would only be right to not rush through the last three and give it its own show. So I think in 2 weeks we're going to have to do Starrcade Part 3 because I think we could go about 20 minutes on the Sting-Hogan feud and we could go another 30 minutes to even longer on the last three. So I think in 2 weeks, gentlemen, Starrcade Part 3. And we'll wrap it up about Starrcade next week.
That's great.
Derek.
Yes.
I knew you'd agree with me, Sharon. I don't do a lot of things right, but I'm an OCD, so I can plan things a little better. Derek, what do you got up with this week, my friend?
In the room, myself, Brady, DJ, Ray, Tuesday nights, 9:30 on the VOC network. We're probably going to be talking about SummerSlam. Hopefully I'm waxing poetically about the spectacle that is Brock Lesnar versus John Cena. Hopefully it's, you know, a lot of destruction and mayhem and all that good stuff. So tune into the show and we'll be talking about that.
Maestro, do your thing.
Okay, this Saturday night, I'll be in Petersburg, West Virginia at Petersburg High School for Championship Pro Wrestling. I'll be teaming up with Bill Bain, taking on Shane Shadows and Ricky Morton at Rock and Roll Express with special guest referee, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ron Garvin. And then Sunday, I'm going to be having the SummerSlam party, special event party, autograph signing at the Dave & Buster's in Virginia Beach, Virginia, that Mega Pro Wrestling, Mega Star Wrestling, rather, is putting on. And that should be a good time. Looking forward to seeing the fans there. And from all the info, what's going on with this weekend? Well, next weekend also, I'll be at UPWA Pro Wrestling event in Charlotte, North Carolina, at National Guard Armory. And for all information for all this, plus many more on movies, when I got a couple movies premiering this fall, as well as a trailer and an episode of Sleepy Hollow on Fox, check out my website on the World Wide Web at www.thestro.com. And you can search, you can find it by typing in STRO Stro in the Google search as well.
And I'll say this for the Sleepy Hollow. We just started watching it, so I get caught up and get ready for your appearance, sir. So it better not be a flash. Hey, that's Stro. That's it right there.
I know him.
Wow, I almost forgot to plug myself. Hey, everybody, you want information on me? First thing you do, follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83. The main website you want to go to is hiectalkradio.com. Every Wednesday night, 9 p.m., wrestling and MMA and a little bit of real life sometimes when things go down. Follow us at hiectalkradio.com. This Monday, Obey the Puck is going to have our second mid-season update of the NHL and AHL season. We're going to have a little bit of a logo review. Hockey News is doing a logo countdown, and we, all three of us, disagree with it completely, so we're going to do our own and make fun of the Hockey News because it makes me feel better about myself. But we're going to have Hockey News update. So Obey the Puck, Monday night, HIACTalkRadio.com, 9 o'clock. And for Stro the Maestro Wrestling and Derek McDonald, we will see you in 2 weeks for part three of Starrcade. And I'm just going to say good night.